Welcome back to the Iowa Crossroad Podcast. This is your host, Max Pringle. Today, we're going to be discussing parental rights within the state of Iowa. Specifically, we're going to be talking about how the Democrats, in their party platform, have outlined some anti-parental rights statements and positions. We're going to be looking at this from a biblical perspective. Stay tuned. It's going to get interesting.
Grab your coffee and brace yourself. Join your host, Max Pringle, on the Iowa Crossroad Podcast, where partisan positions meet theological clarity. Side effects of listening may include offense, frustration, and the sudden urge to defend a party platform with Bible verses it doesn't actually support. Iowa is at a crossroad, and the road to the cross is the one we must take. The fun begins in 3, 2, 1.
One of the most fundamental truths of all times is that parents have the responsibility to raise their children. This responsibility of raising children is simultaneously one of the hardest things to do and one of the most fulfilling. The role of a parent is critical to the development of the child. Each of us have seen parents who have not been intentional about raising their children, and these children go on to struggle with a myriad of issues. Thankfully, these issues can be overcome. But parents who disregard this responsibility inevitably sets their children up for many years of overcoming the obstacles that either the parents refused to deal with or they didn't teach their children how to deal with them. This is why the role of parents is the most vital role to the perpetuation of everything we hold dear. Over the course of history, many societies have undermined the role of parents and have replaced the parental influence with the influence of what is considered to be acceptable in society. Even in our lifetime, or the lifetime of our immediate family members, we've witnessed this play out. Nazi Germany, from 1933 to 1945, declared that the allegiance to the Führer was more important than loyalty to the family. Children were placed in Hitler youth programs and taught to report on parents who expressed views contrary to Hitler and contrary to the Holocaust ideology, the war effort, and the genocide of millions of people. The state also removed children who they deemed unfit for society, the handicapped, those with intellectual disabilities, non-white children, etc. The Soviet Union, from 1917 to the 1980s, also sought to replace the family as the primary shaper of the child. Children were encouraged to join communist youth programs, youth groups, and they informed on their parents, who were considered counter-revolutionary. This resulted in parental rights being limited or nullified. Families were weakened, mass indoctrination was common, and this led to deep societal distrust. China, from 1979 to 2015, implemented a one-child policy. This sought to advance economic development, but instead led to demographic collapse. The Chinese forced sterilizations on their citizens, they forced abortions for people that didn't abide by the one-child policy, and ultimately, it was a breakdown of the family structure. And because of this policy, many families wanted boys, which resulted in the mass execution of 30 to 40 million baby girls by abortion. These are just recent examples of the totalitarian regimes that inevitably crushed parental rights. Thankfully, we live in a state that values parental rights. Any attack on parental rights should be viewed with as much disgust as Germany, the Soviet Union, and China's gross overreach. An attempt to undermine parental rights is an indication of totalitarian and dictatorial policies. This is why it's so disturbing that the Iowa Democrat Party has espoused some of these very ideas that undermine parental rights. In the next few minutes, over the course of this episode, I'm going to outline some of the policies that are written in the Iowa Democrat Party platform. You can go out to the Democrat Party page and find their platform. All of these things I am quoting from the Democrat Party platform, all right? So go out, verify it for yourself. This is not something that I'm talking about California or New York radical, quote-unquote, Democrats, but this is radical ideology from what we would consider moderate Democrat Party here in the state of Iowa. So, what's this Democrat Party? Well, I'll begin with Plank 726. It's under the Children and Family section of the platform. This is what it says. We support the state repealing Iowa Codes Section 232.68-2A-4C, which exempts the denial of medical treatment based on religious beliefs as child abuse. Get that, as child abuse and neglect. Also, 237A-1-2B exempts religion-based child care from regulation. That's a kicker. We're going to get into that one. But that one really set me on fire whenever I was doing some research for this. And finally, 139A.84A2, which exempts immunization requirements based on religious beliefs. So there's three things there. One exempts denial of medical treatment based on religious beliefs. One exempts religion-based child care from regulation. And the other exempts immunization requirements based on personal religious convictions. They want to repeal all of these things. Together, these positions aim to remove religion and religious beliefs as a justification to deviate from mainstream medical standards and ensure state authority prevails over religion and parental rights. It will reduce parental rights by increasing state intervention and normalizing government as the final arbiter of a child's needs, whether they're perceived or they're real. If you don't want to give your child vaccines that are produced or tested using the historic fetal cell lines, these lines came from tissues obtained from two elective abortions in the 1960s and 1980s. If you don't want to give your child those vaccines, you're considered a child abuser. How do you like that? The following vaccines are part of this: chickenpox, rubella, which is part of the MMR vaccine, hepatitis A, rabies, one specific one, Imovax, whatever that's, however you pronounce that. It's apparently only one variant that has this in there. And then the shingles. There's one brand, Zostavax brand, or Zostavax brand. This one is generally not considered recommended anymore, but still, that brand does have the tested or produced using that historic fetal cell tissue. The Iowa Democrats want to erase your ability as a parent to decide if you should give your child the vaccines that were tested on cells from murdered babies. If you have a problem with that, you're a child abuser. That's what the Democrat Party says. The Iowa Democrat Party. Not the California Democrat Party. Not the AOCs. The Iowa Democrat Party. The other thing is within that Plank 726 is currently religious-based child care are exempt from regulation. You say, what's that religious-based child care? Well, let me explain it. Any of the following, this is coming straight from the code, the Iowa code. Any of the following church-related programs are exempt from child care licensure and the requirements that are imposed by Iowa code. So here's the church-related programs that are currently exempt. One would be an instructional program. Two, a youth group program other than a preschool, before or after school child care, or other child care programs. And then three, this is the biggest one, a program providing care to children on church premises while the children's parents are attending church-related or church-sponsored activities on the church premises. The Iowa Democrats want to remove that. They want to remove the exemption of programs providing care to your children on church premises while you attend church. If you put your child in the nursery, youth group, or other children's classes while you attend church, the Iowa Democrats want your church to be licensed as a child care facility. This means that the Democrats, if they get their way, hope to God they don't, but if they get their way, they'll be able to regulate to a degree how churches operate. Does this seem like an attack on the freedom of religion? Yeah, of course. If they remove this exemption from Iowa code, then your child would be forced under Section 237A.3C. They'd be required to be immunized in order to attend Sunday school or some other child's program while you attend the main service. Your child would be forced to be immunized because that's part of the regulation that says all child care facilities will have that requirement. One, they already want to remove that religious-based immunization clause out of the Iowa code. And two, You should be immunized. If you want to attend Sunday school, get a vaccine. Man, you'd think we'd be living in a banana republic with this. I mean, this is what they want. This is ridiculous. Under 237A.4, the state would inspect and evaluate the church's youth programs to ensure adherence to the code. Under 237.4A, the department, this is what it says, the department shall implement a regulatory fee for licensure of these facilities. This means that your church would have to pay the state a regulatory fee to become licensed so that your child could attend a children's class while you attend the main service. Additionally, under 237A.5, all personnel that teach such classes would need a physical examination within 6 months immediately preceding the date that the individual begins teaching. They need a physical examination to ensure they don't have any communicable diseases. A church. This is what the Iowa Democrats want to remove. Finally, under Section 237A.8, the department could suspend or revoke a license or a certificate of registration that they've given your church if your church fails any part of the inspection. Does that sound like the state, the Iowa Democrats, desire for your children to be able to attend youth classes at your church? Man, this is a despicable overreach from the Democrat Party at the state of Iowa. I mean, the Iowa Constitution and our own Bill of Rights in the state, I'm not talking the national, which already promises freedom of religion, but in our own state constitution, flat out says, the General Assembly shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Historically, one form of religious persecution prior to the founding of these United States was that churches were required to obtain licenses to preach. The Supreme Court has addressed this. They addressed it in Cantwell versus Connecticut in 1940. They ruled that the state could not require a license for the solicitation of religious causes. Allowing my children to attend children's classes while I attend church is my religious right. The state government cannot require my church to obtain licensing for the free exercise of my religion or my children's. The Iowa Democrats disagree with this and want to regulate the free exercise of my family's religion and your family's religious practices by requiring your church to obtain a license from the government to teach your children. If this was the only issue of disagreement, the Iowa Democrats would still not deserve your vote. Sadly, this is just the beginning of the erosion of your parental rights by the Iowa Democrats. Let's move on to some of the other party platforms that attack your parental rights. Plank 302, under the equity section, says the following. We oppose outing students, including the parents and guardians. Okay. Plank 502, under the civil rights and civil liberties section, says this. We oppose compelling anyone to divulge the sexual orientation and or gender identity of a minor under their supervision to that minor's parents or legal guardians. Your kid expresses the gender dysphoria? Yep, you're not allowed to know. They don't want you to know about that. We oppose compelling anyone to divulge that sexual orientation or gender identity to you. Don't you just feel so loved and respected as a parent? So now let's combine some of these beliefs. Plank 726 states that they want to repeal the exemptions that enable parents to deny medical treatment based on religious beliefs. Well, medical treatments could include gender reassignment surgery. And then these last two planks that I quoted both state that they don't want the parents informed of the children's sexual orientation. Additionally, here's Plank 735. This states, we oppose parental notification requirements absent imminent harm. What is imminent harm? Well, I would define that as my child getting sex reassignment surgery. I would absolutely say that's imminent harm because you are permanently mutilating that individual for the rest of their life. They'll never be the same. But imminent harm in somebody else's might just be, and I say just, might simply be suicide. That's the only time the parental notification requirement should be there. Absent suicide. So if your child didn't indicate suicidal tendencies, yeah, you shouldn't know anything about that. The only time you should get told anything is if your child has expressed suicidal tendencies. Apart from that, if they've expressed any sort of confusion or any sort of gender dysphoria, parents wouldn't be notified. If a medical doctor or a psychologist thought that medical treatment to cut the body parts off of your children or to give them puberty blockers, and you oppose it, you're a child abuser because you are now denying medical treatment based on religious beliefs. Can you believe that? Can you believe that's what the Iowa Democrat Party wants? It's right there in their party platform. I couldn't believe it when I first read it. This is utterly insane. This is lunacy. Each of these undermine the duty of the parents. And that duty is to develop, nurture, and guide your children to prepare them for the life that lies ahead. This platform fundamentally replaces the parents as the primary influencer of the child and makes everyone else except the parent responsible. School teachers, principals, law enforcement, counselors, doctors, Sunday school teachers, all of these people, according to the Democrat platform, should be restrained from giving the parent information about their child's deepest struggles. How can you help your child if you don't have all the information of the struggles that your child potentially told somebody else about? How are you to do your job? The Iowa Democrats think they can parent your children better than you can. Therefore, they hate school choice. They hate private schools. They hate religious youth groups. Why? Because they lose control of that child that they think belongs to them. The Iowa Democrats would rather your child be influenced by some sick, perverted man that dresses up like a woman and dances provocatively in front of children. They would rather them be influenced by them than influenced by you. Do you think they deserve your vote? It doesn't matter how many verses Rob Sand or other quote-unquote moderate Democrats quote if they align with a party platform that fundamentally strips your God-given parental rights away from you. God has entrusted your children to you, but the Iowa Democrats want to supplant the God-given family structure. It's a perfect segue into the Bible. What does the Bible say about this? Let's evaluate it. What's the Bible say about parental rights? At the end of this, you will be able to answer this one question. Who is responsible to teach and train your children? Well, of course, the answer is obvious. You are. Additionally, if God structured the family in a certain way and someone seeks to supplant this structure, which side do they align with, good or evil? Well, God gave structure to Adam and Eve in the garden and gave them their first guidance. Satan supplanted God's structure and guidance, and he has sought to supplant God's direction ever since. So we see this, it's clear. Anything that seeks to supplant God's design is evil. Fundamentally, it's evil. So let's evaluate what the Bible says. What is God's design for the parents and children? Well, first of all, God clearly expects the parent to instruct the child. Genesis 18:19, God speaks about Abraham, and this is what he says. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring Abraham to what he has spoken to him. God wanted Abraham to instruct and guide his house and his children. The parent is the primary teacher of the child and is solely responsible for the child's instruction. When I refer to solely responsible, that yes, there's teachers, yes, there's instructors, yes, there's other people that's going to influence your child, but at the end of the day, you stand account to God for your child's instruction. This is the command God gave to the parents of living in Israel. Well, if he expects parents thousands of years ago to do something, then he'll still expect it of parents today. Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7 states this: "These words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." I don't know how much clearer it could get. You'll talk of God when you sit in your house, when you walk, when you're in the car, before bedtime, when you get up in the morning. You'll teach them diligently to your children. You'll teach the ways of God diligently to your children. This is what God's expectation was of the parents in Israel. This is the expectation for us today. Another thing, the father has the authority and the duty to lead and guide the family. For an example of this, let's look to Joshua. Joshua was a good leader that God called upon to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. He not only was a great leader of a nation, he was a great leader of his own family. Listen to Joshua 24:15. Joshua's challenging the people of Israel. And he says this: "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Fathers, it is your responsibility to lead and guide the family. You have the authority and you have the duty to do this. Nobody else, just you. Relying on the good advice of your wife, you two are a team. But at the end of the day, the father is the one that has the final responsibility before God to ensure that his family serves God. Parents should teach the next generation of who God is and what he has done. Look in Psalm 78, 2 through 7. "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known," and get this, "and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." Parents, it's your responsibility to teach your children so that they might hope in God and not forget his works. Another truth is that children belong to God. God was the one that gave them life. Children belong to him. Parents are simply entrusted stewards. Psalm 27, 3 through 4 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. They came from the Lord." Children are an heritage from the Lord. "The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." They will be a conquering, warrioring people. Parents are expected to teach children, and children are expected to learn from their parents. Proverbs 1, 8 through 9 says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother." Raising children is long-term. It's a long-term God-given responsibility. Another verse in Proverbs, verse 22, verse 6, says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." That's to the parents. It's a parental responsibility. And it's a long training time. When he is old, that means there's years of training that goes on from the parents to the children. And finally, God established the family structure for one purpose: to raise children who love and serve God. Malachi 2:15, referring to marriage, God says, anytime he says making out of two, making one, He's referring to marriage. And he says, but did he not make them one? And why one? Why did he make marriage? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit and let no one deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. Why is sexual immorality such a problem? Because God seeks godly offspring. He seeks children that love and honor God. And when a dad or a mom starts going and living a life of sin, well, he's not going to get that godly offspring from them. So this is the family structure. God says he seeks godly offspring. He seeks those who seek him. He's looking for that, and he gives parents the responsibility to ensure that that happens. Clearly, God has established the family structure for this purpose, to raise children who grow to love the Lord and go on to raise their own children who do the same. Any program, person, or platform that seeks to undermine this God-given structure is on the same side as Satan, who seeks to supplant everything God has made. There are two things that I want you to take away from this episode. The first is to underscore the responsibility of the parents and help you see that you are irreplaceable in your child's life. So, go home and love your kids. This is the single best thing you could ever do in life. Love your kids. Raise them. Teach them. Accept the responsibility. Teach your children. The second takeaway is that the Iowa Democrat Party desires to replace you as the parent of your child. They see themselves as God, and they see your children as belonging to them. Sometimes I joke that I think that the hotel in Bethlehem where Mary and Joseph went to, and they said, hey, there's no room for Jesus here. There's no room for the king. Sometimes I think that that hotel was run by an Iowa Democrat because there was no room for Jesus in that hotel, and there's no room right now for Jesus in the Iowa Democrat Party platform because they seek to undermine the very things that God has set up. I don't care how many verses they quote. I don't care how moderate they sound. I don't care how much they invoke God. When they go against the Bible, the book that God wrote, this is the instruction manual for life, and the Iowa Democrat Party is going completely opposite of what God set up. They can quote all the verses they want to, but that doesn't make them Christian. That doesn't make the Iowa Democrat Party a good party to vote for. So I want you to go look. The Iowa Democrat Party platform. Go look for yourself. See all these things. I've outlined it. We've talked about it at length. I want you to go research this thing out for yourself. And if you've seen some value in this episode, I want you to share this with your family and friends. I've got a goal in mind, and that is to influence this next gubernatorial election in the state of Iowa. Rob Sand, I would say he's a very compelling Democrat voice right now in the state of Iowa. He's turning a lot of people towards the Democrat Party, and I think it's because he's going around quoting a bunch of Bible verses. I think it's because he's pawning himself off to be this moderate. And the fact of the matter is that he's aligning himself with a party platform that is wicked. It's evil. It stands for evil. It stands for everything that God stands against. So I ask you, is he worth your vote? If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting the Iowa Crossroad Podcast. Head over to Patreon and search for the Iowa Crossroad Podcast. I'm very excited about our roundtable opportunity on Patreon, where we'll have quarterly Q&A sessions. Listeners will be able to ask questions and weigh in on future episodes. We'll be building a community there. So go over to Patreon, look for the Iowa Crossroad Podcast, and if you'd consider helping out, we'd greatly appreciate it.